This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Welcome everyone tonight. You are listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odo, along with my co-host, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. And we welcome you to this live edition. It is September 5th, 2017. We are live here in East Central Alabama. Tonight we're going to get into the subject of the birth pains increase as September 23rd approaches. A lot to cover. I wanted to joke around game coming up between Auburn and Clemson this Saturday, but I tell you folks, there's no time for joking or football or anything else. Things are getting serious out there as we watch Hurricane Irma turn into a Category 5 storm. Not sure where it's going to make landfall. I can tell you this much: wherever a Category 5 and possibly if it enters into the Gulf of Mexico with warmer weather, it could turn into something. It's already unprecedented. I've been hearing that this is the largest storm, strongest storm to form outside of the Gulf of Mexico ever. And, of course, they called Hurricane Harvey that just hit and flooded Texas. They called the flooding there, a 1,000-year flood. Some are trying to now say it's, 500-year flood. But what are they saying? They're saying that we are seeing some unprecedented events, but Irma looks to be a very, very serious matter. So as I begin to see it happening, and of course the talk of Korea detonating another nuclear bomb, another nuclear test, further threats toward the United States, I just started thinking, here we are, what Jesus talked about, Luke 21 talked about, the birth pains. And I'm going to go back and we're going to look at the September 23rd sign that's coming, that's in the heavens, that alignment that was foretold in the book of Revelation chapter 12. And I don't believe it's signifying the beginning of, or the rapture is going to happen around that time. I believe it's signifying that we are entering into great tribulation, great trouble. I don't believe we're getting out of here in a pre-tribulation rapture. Everybody needs to buckle up and get in their Bibles and get in their prayer closets and get close to Jesus, and because he's going to be our only refuge, folks. In the days ahead, these things that are coming, you look at what happened to Houston, you look at what's happening. I can't even imagine what Irma is going to do. I mean, folks, if you're in the path of this thing, you don't need to play games. You don't need to tempt God. You don't need to test God. You need to evacuate. You need to get out of the way of this thing, because people are forgetting Camille, forgetting Andrew. They're forgetting some of these that came in. You know, Katrina, when it finally hit, I believe it was a Category 5 and then slowed to a 4. But regardless, I was on the coast of Mississippi when the wind started blowing. I was working down there in the Biloxi and that whole area. I worked for a company, and I was on the Gulf Coast all the time. And I went home that weekend, and of course, Katrina came in. And when I went back, I was one of the first ones that went back. It was unbelievable. I could not believe the devastation. I could not believe the entire coastline, every building, every restaurant, every gas station. I mean, they weren't just destroyed. They were just gone. There were very few buildings left there in Gulf, around Gulfport and Biloxi and that whole area. And then, of course, everyone knows about the flooding that happened in New Orleans, but this is nothing to play with here. And it's definitely, as we are going to see. Jesus said there would be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. He said nations in perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring. And folks, if that's not enough, okay, if Harvey wasn't enough and the flooding, the massive flooding, I mean, unprecedented flooding, if that wasn't enough, now we have Irma coming right behind it, maybe moving into the Gulf of Mexico, which is going to be, again, it's going to be devastating wherever it hits. And then right behind it, we have another one named Jose that's forming that say should reach hurricane strength shortly. And then there's possibly another one building. So something is going on. And it just struck me today that we are definitely seeing the birth pain increase as we as the September 23rd approaches. And we're going to look at those scriptures. But somebody emailed me this a few days ago, and then it was interesting because I didn't tell Kevin today what we were doing. And then he comes in, and one of the first things he begins to tell me is that he saw somebody post this on the internet. So if you have that, this was an interesting thing because, you know, I did a sermon a couple of weeks ago about the eclipse, right before the eclipse happened, about the signs in the heavens, and about the eclipse, and about the coming September 23rd sign, and about the rapture. And so, anyway, somebody sent this to me, and basically what it said was that, you know, the eclipse happened on the 21st, and then Harvey made landfall on the 25th, and if you look at Luke 21, verse 25, in fact, let's turn there, Luke 21, 25, and I thought this is just one strange coincidence here that it happened to say in Luke 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. I thought, wow. I mean, now I know that this passage right here, this particular passage is talking about the very end, the second coming of Jesus, but I believe we're being warned here that these are all just, you know, as they say, shots over the bow, that we're being warned that we are entering into a time of great tribulation, a time of great trouble. And we're not, I'm telling you, I don't care how many times you've been taught it, you've been preached it, you've heard it, the pre-tribulation rapture is not biblical, it is not of God, he didn't say it. We may end up going back through that tonight. I'm telling you, you better be getting prepared to the things that are coming in these days. And now, it's interesting because let's go back. We're going to go back to the PowerPoint that I did for the message a couple of weeks ago, about the eclipse and the great sign. And, of course, that I did talk about and go through all the reasons why I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture from Scripture. That video is on YouTube. It's on Facebook. You can look that up. But we're going to go back and look at some of these because I want to go back over this sign real quick, the great sign, the eclipse and the great sign. Now, of course, as I said in the message, you know, we have eclipses every so often. You could say, well, you know, it's no big deal. These things are a regular occurrence and they're at different times and, you know, there's total eclipse, partial eclipse, you know, solar eclipses. And so you can talk about that. But when you see something connected to something else, and particularly as I shared about the eclipse, what was interesting about the path of the shadow, I'm not even going to get into all the craziness around the eclipse, but I looked at one very significant thing about the path of the shadow going through seven towns called Salem, as it started in the shadow started in up in Oregon and coming down through the different states way to South Carolina, and it was seven different Salems, and I thought that to me was fascinating and very interesting. But remember, the Bible says, and this is what God said, this is Genesis 1 and verse 14, he says here, and there's the seven Salems that the shadow went through of the eclipse. In Genesis 1:14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament that had to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And as I pointed out, God created the sun, he created the moon, and he created the stars. Those are the lights in the heavens, period. That's it. And then we come to the verse that we were talking about a minute ago, Luke 21:25. And really here I have on this particular slide, Luke 21:25-28, Jesus said that there would be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So there you have those passages. And then so we have this great eclipse, this total eclipse that makes this odd shadow that goes across the entire United States on August 21st, goes through the seven Salems, which is another name for Jerusalem. And we see this, and then just a few days later, 4 days later, we see this unprecedented flooding in Houston and Texas area. And we're still just leading up to this great sign. So we're going to drop down again and look at the great sign in heaven that's coming. Revelation 12, when it says, now a great sign or a great wonder, it's the same word in the Greek as used for wonder and sign. They're interchangeable, Simeon. And anyway, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland or crown of 12 stars. And this will happen in the constellation of Virgo. There will be a crown of her stars, the nine stars of Leo, plus Mars, Mercury, and Venus. The sun will clothe her upon her shoulder. The light will clothe her, and the moon will be at her feet. And Jupiter will be in her womb. And she, as we go back and look at this, Jupiter will have been in her womb. The star Jupiter, I'm going to say, will be in her womb for 9 months until we get to September 23rd. And that's what you see, Revelation 12:1-2. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, journeying in birth and pain to be delivered. So this sign is real. I mean, it's going to happen on September 23rd. It is a sign that's never happened before. I know somebody, some person tried to point back and said it did happen around the time of Adam and Eve. I don't know, but most everybody that's checked this says this sign has never happened using Stellarium and some of these other different programs. And even going forward thousands of years, can't find it ever happening again. I believe that it's significant because I know about the other Bible prophecies that are coming to pass and that are all converging together. So I look at this and I'm just going to say, Pastor Dean Odell here believes that this is a legitimate sign in the heaven. And notice he says, and that's what's amazing when he says it's a great sign. I believe God wanted us to know when, first of all, he wanted the last generation to know it was the last generation. He wanted us to be warned when we were going to enter into great tribulation. And I'm telling you, folks, I can't say the day or the hour that the tribulation, the true final tribulation is going to begin, the final 7 years. I'm not saying that. I don't know if it's the 23rd or not. We'll see as events unfold. I know the rapture will not happen on that time. It's not going to happen anywhere this year or even the next few years. I can just tell you, it's not going to happen. So anybody's telling you the rapture is going to happen, they're lying, they're deceiving you. They don't have scripture to back it up. And I don't care if I get hate from it, because you pre-rapture folks are going to find out you're dead wrong, because you just didn't listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. He gave you a chronological outline of the major events of the end times. And he said in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light. Then you will see the sign of the Son of Man coming, and then the Son of Man will send forth his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they'll gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. So the Bible tells you, Jesus told you, he taught it plain, made it clear, there should be no confusion about when the rapture takes place in the sequence of events. Jesus confirmed it in John 6, He said four times in John 6 that he would raise up the resurrection of the righteous, those who believe in him, those who follow him, that he would raise them up at the last day. Not the last days, at the last day. That's very clear that the rapture of the church, of we which are alive and remain, that the dead in Christ, that's going to take place at the very end, just moments before the Battle of Armageddon. Now, having said all that, I'm making this clear. I don't have time tonight. I'm not going through the whole teaching on the pre-trib rapture versus the post-trib rapture. But I'm here as a pastor, as a prophet, as a teacher, to give warning that we are definitely entering into a new season. We are travailing in birth. And I'm going to share this. I feel like the Lord gave me a word before tonight for this evening, because I was just praying and battling through some demons trying to just attack and oppress me today. It's been crazy. But I can tell you, as I prayed through and as I sought God about what to do, and I didn't know until about 4 o'clock what in the world we were going to do tonight. But I felt the Lord begin to tell me that this travail, these birth pains that Jesus warned us of, and we're going to go back and read this in Matthew 24. In fact, you can pull this up, Matthew 24, first few verses there. We'll go read that in just a second. But, you know, he's been telling me and spoke to me back in 2014. As we entered into 2014, he said that unprecedented events would begin to take place. And I believe the birth pains really began back in 2014, and they are intensifying now. We had unprecedented events. The word God gave me, he gave me one word for 2014 at the end of 2013. He said, unprecedented. Man, and then we had the coldest winter in North American history. Earthquakes, major earthquakes, tripled in the first 3 months of 2014. In March, Russia invaded Crimea. I mean, you have Russia moving and taking over another country and just annexing it. There were some true unprecedented events that took place that I believe were, again, the beginning of birth pains, the earthquakes, the wars and rumors of wars. We were beginning to see the ball start rolling, even within creation, within nature itself, the groaning of nature, as Romans talks about, when that it's just incredible. I mean, here in Alabama, we got down to 6 degrees. That doesn't happen down here. I mean, we had several weeks of, and we had snow. We don't normally get snow, and it was just, it was crazy. I remember Kevin and I worked outside one day, and the high temperature of the day here in East Central Alabama was 17 degrees. that was the high for the day. I mean, it was crazy. But let's go back and look at this, what Jesus said in Matthew 24 and verse 3. We spent a lot of time reading this, but this was Jesus answering the question of his disciples. And it says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, first thing, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive me. And then he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And even there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And then he uses the phrase in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the word sorrows there means the beginning of birth pains. You can look that up in the Greek if you want to. What's very interesting here, as Jesus said, of course, first thing warned of deception coming in his name. I'm going to tell you, I talked about this Sunday. There's a lot of deception coming from Pope Francis, who pretends to come in the name of Jesus Christ and represent Christianity, but he is a deceiver. He is a false prophet, and I believe if he ends up being the final pope of the Roman Catholic Church, he is the false prophet who will work with the Antichrist. But Jesus warned there would be people come in his name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he said, you hear of wars and rumors of wars. Folks, in the midst of all of this crazy stuff with hurricanes, and we are going to talk about that tonight, but with all of this crazy stuff, right now, it's going nuts with North Korea. I mean, here's American military news saying North Korea says nuclear test was a gift package to the U.S. with more on the way. They said Tuesday that there are more gift packages as long as the U.S. continues to try to shut down the North Korea's missile program. Now, the other day, I just read an article where it was talking about that, Japan, you know, when North Korea just fired a missile near the northern side of Japan, that Japan now is so serious that the prime minister and whoever the man was sitting next to him looked stressed. But they are trying to figure out how to evacuate somewhere around 60,000 people out of South Korea, Japanese citizens, to try to get them closer, you know, back home and away from the danger. I'm telling you, these rumors of war here are getting crazy. Here's the UK Express stating that North Korea moved deadly missile to U.S. side of West Coast as World War III fears spark. North Korea has been spotted moving yet another intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBM, towards the Western Coast, insiders have revealed. And, you know, you could go on and on with this. I believe we're headed towards some kind of confrontation, some kind of conflict is going to come out of this with North Korea. Russia was talking about it today. Here you have this wars and rumors of war. I mean, we know what will happen if the United States has to conduct airstrikes or tries to knock out nuclear facilities or his missile facilities. I mean, they're even talking about this latest nuclear test that he just did just caused a mountain to possibly be caving in and might release nuclear radiation. I mean, there's all kind of stuff. There's talk that China may invade and just take over North Korea. I know, as strange as that sounds, that might be the best case scenario. But the thing about it is Kim Jong-un, as they call him, or Kim Jong Funky Bong, as I call him, he is not going to go down without a fight. So there's no telling what he might do. On top of that, you've got fires out in California and Oregon out there in the West, Montana. I mean, and it's just blowing my mind. They've told, you know, one of the planes, one of the biggest planes that drops water, they've grounded it. And you're like, somebody says it looks like they want it to happen. And I mean, the United States is burning, flooding, and here we have another massive natural disaster headed our way. I think it's time for us to understand that judgment is coming to America. I just pulled up a few verses before the program tonight, before our show tonight, just talking about the whirlwind. I mean, just do that in your King James Bible. Do a word search on the word whirlwind and start reading those verses, and we may do that in a minute. America hasn't understood that the day was going to come when God's patience with us and his mercy and his patience with the homosexual agenda, his patience now with the transgender, now trying to teach the kids, oh, you don't, it doesn't matter whether you know if you're a boy or a girl, or it's the insanity. I mean, I received a message, an email message, just in the last couple of days from a teacher up in Chicago talking about how they're beginning to push her to not call her students boys and girls and to not line them up as boys and girls. And I'm just sitting here going, is this America? And then we want to sit back with our lukewarm Christianity and our lukewarm churches, and we want to say that, oh, God loves America, and America will never be judged for its sins and wickedness and iniquity. No, this is happening. You say, well, did God bring this hurricane and these hurricanes? You know what? Either way, the Bible says God has his way. Nahum 1:3 says God has his way in the whirlwind, whether he sends it or not. He has his way in it, meaning if he takes his hands off and he allows Satan to manipulate the weather and bring it, We see that Satan does have some authority and some use of the wind, because we see that in the book of Job when he asked to attack Job, and God gave Satan permission. He said, you can do this, this, and this, but you can't touch Job. And so what does it say? A strong wind came and blew his children's house down, and Job's children died. I mean, do we forget that God took his hands off and tragedy and judgment came? I think Job's children weren't living for God. And it says Job was in fear all the time, going around doing sacrifices just in case they cursed God in their hearts. So it lets me know Job was concerned about his grown children truly living for God. So to me, I look at that as that story is a little different than some. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter if God does it or God allows it to happen. Folks, when these things come, we ought to start waking up and we ought to start saying, what do we need to do? What do we need to do here to get God's protection, to get God's grace, to get God's forgiveness? I mean, we forget he's the God of judgment. In fact, let's read one of those whirlwind verses. Kevin, we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 1. I mean, this one, if this one doesn't start to wake us up, I don't know what will. But Proverbs chapter 1, and let me turn there. I'm just kind of letting it flow tonight. Proverbs chapter 1. There's just so much here. I need to see where I need to start reading. He's just talking about wickedness. But look at this. We'll start reading at verse 7 because, I mean, this is almost unheard of in the American Western church. You know, verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then he's speaking about God's wisdom and God's instruction from the word of God. He said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So if people are trying to lure you in sin, don't hang out with them. And he goes on and he talks about, he says, if they say, come with us and let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. And we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoils. He's talking about, cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. And he says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. And he said, stay away from people that want to be thieves, that want to be liars, that want to be criminals, that want to be evil, that want to harm people. I mean, he's trying to say, stay away from this stuff. And he says, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird. And they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, and which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And then he says, wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief places of concourse, and in the openings of the gates. And in the city she utters her words, saying, now listen to this. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? He says, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused, and I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Here's what the Lord says. When you won't listen to me, and for the most part, 99% of Americans do not listen to God's reproof, his correction, his instruction, his wisdom. And he says here, he says, when your calamity comes, because you wouldn't listen to my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away When then he's talking about the turning away of the simple, he's talking about those who turn away from God, from God's word, God's truth, from the Lord Jesus. When they turn away from him, it says, the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Listen, God knows how to protect us, even in the midst of calamity, even in the midst of war, even in the midst of judgment. God knows how to protect and deliver those who truly are humble, who truly are repentant of their sin, who truly have the fear of the Lord in their hearts, who truly want to listen to God's counsel, his reproof, his correction. But folks, most people are stubborn. I'm talking about even a bunch of church. There's a bunch of church folks. A bunch of church people go to church every Sunday. They dress up. They go to church. They drop their money in the offering plate. But they do their own will. They do their own thing. And God's looking at them and go, you know what? Don't think this stuff is coming to just anybody. I mean, this is some stuff. You start reading again. I challenge you tonight. Look up the word whirlwind. I'm talking about in King James. I haven't looked at it in anything else. I just typed in whirlwind, and I couldn't believe all the verses that came up. Time for us to wake up. It's time for us to start realizing judgment is beginning. We're seeing the beginning of these birth pains. And folks, according to the way, now I'm not a female and I've never had a child, but according to every female I've ever known that's had a child, it gets worse as you get closer to the birth, right? But see, the thing about this is when a woman's pregnant and she finally has the child, there's joy. Well, this birth, this thing that's being birthed is the Great Tribulation. This thing that's being birthed is the coming judgment. That's what's being birthed. So when the birth finally happens, it's not a good sign. When the birth pains are done and when the transition takes over and when this thing comes into the world, that's coming. This is when everything comes. This is when the world government comes. This is when the UN takes over. I mean, this is when the mark of the beast is instituted. This is when Christianity and the Bible is outlawed as hate speech. And this is where we're headed. You don't believe it? I mean, let's pull up that article. I mean, it can get real, real quick, folks. Down in the Virgin Islands, I can't believe this is happening. I lost my place here. Let me pull it back up. Kevin, do you have it there? This is from our sister Liz. I know she listens and watches sometimes. I won't say her last name. But she posted an article here. Virgin Islands allows National Guard to seize guns and ammo ahead of Hurricane Irma. Now, the Virgin Islands, it's not a state of the Union of the United States, but it is a United States territory. Now, I'm not some constitutional expert on territory law, but you would think any piece of land that falls under a United States territory ought to fall under at least the principles of the United States Constitution. And because of a storm, they're going to disregard their rights to the Second Amendment to bear arms. I thought to myself, they better not come try to get mine, because they're not getting so much as a BB gun from me or one bullet. No, sir. But you see where this stuff is headed. Enough devastation comes into the United States. I mean, let's just say Irma hits land Category 5, Category 6, or 7. It affects 3, 4, 5 states. I mean, it could do that as a 5 anyway. But let's say that happens. You know, I mean, we're talking about multiple governors declaring, emergency, state of emergency, federal federal government declaring emergency. So you add Houston in. Let's see. If this thing comes, think about what would happen to Texas if Irma goes and hits where the last one hit. What? I can't even imagine. Folks, we need to wake up and realize we are under, America is under judgment. I said this, and many people said this, the eclipse was not a good omen for us. It wasn't a good sign for the United States. We have been so terribly wicked for so long, and our church has been so lukewarm and watered down with the seeker-sensitive gospel and the worldly gospel, and let's accept everything. Let's be tolerant of everything. And we're surprised. And you know, in what Jesus said, the birth pains, when he was talking about there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and he talks about it in Luke, the sea and the waves will be roaring. He says there will be famine and there will be earthquakes. Now, I'm going to say something right now, and this is not a prophecy. I have had the Lord tell me in the last few years that there will be a magnitude in a 10 earthquake at some point. Now, we've had the biggest we've had 9, I think, that's recorded, or a little over 9, 9.1 or 2 or something like that. I don't think there's never been a 10 recorded. I felt like the Lord told me a while back there was going to be a 10 at some point. And I'm not saying that's what's next, but I can tell you this, just reading Matthew 24 about the birth pains and Luke 21 and what we're seeing here, that's why I put in the description of the show tonight, I would not be surprised if a major, and I'm talking about a major earthquake, doesn't happen pretty soon. And again, that's just simple deductive reasoning, looking at the scriptures. I'm not even saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm not trying to prophesy here. I'm just telling you, here's what it looks like when I look at this. If these birth pains, and I mean, think about it, there's already food shortages. I mean, in Florida and in Texas, I mean, you have stores and grocery stores. They've been cleaned out. Everybody laughed and mocked preppers, but now there's a whole bunch of people wishing that they had prepped a little better for just these storms. Now, can you imagine if war breaks out? Can you imagine if a nuke goes off on the West Coast or on the East Coast? Can you imagine if there's a major terrorist attack right after we have 2 or 3 major hurricanes hit the United States? Folks, I'm telling you, everything's going to change. When Jesus said, there will be great tribulation such as the world has never seen before, that means there's going to be more stuff going on than people can possibly even process in their minds. It says their hearts are going to be failing them for fear. I'm telling you, if you don't really know Jesus and have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in your heart and in your spirit to give you peace and strength, and this, you're going to lose it. And think about people. Not only is there going to be famine, there's food shortages. I mean, we just saw flooding in just this last year destroyed 25% of the wheat crop out of Kansas, which is going to cause a shortage. I'm watching yesterday. We're coming home from dinner last night. Gasoline has jumped here from $2 a gallon all the way up to $2.50 a gallon in just a few days we're going to have a shortage because of what's going on in Texas. This is just the beginning, though. This is just the beginning of this. Now, I want to share something with you folks that came to me, and if you can, Kevin, put up the picture of this. This is a word of prophecy that was sent to my wife from a dear lady who watches our program, listens to us all the time, but this is from her brother. This is not even from her. He's not one of our viewers, and as far as I know, but he is a born-again Christian. He is spirit-filled, and on August 25th. Now, this is before Harvey. Not before Harvey, but I'm saying as Harvey's coming in. I think that they're in, they're not in Texas, but they're out west in the Midwest. Anyway, on the 25th, And I need to pull this up because now I'm going to read this. Now, I'm going to say, I'm not saying that Irma is this prophecy, but it very well could be. So everybody just needs to hear what this has to say, and I've just got to pull it up. Kevin's going to put it on the screen so you can see the date. We cropped out who it is because we don't want to give, you know, we don't want any bad attention. That's right. And I guess, yes, that's right, dear lady. She's not in Nebraska. That's right. She's in Georgia, I believe. But anyway, this was our friend. She lives in Georgia. And her brother had this experience with the Lord. Now, this was not a dream. I'm going to read it just like she sent it to us. She said, my sister-in-law called me yesterday. Now, this is on your screen. You see the date on it that we received it from her on August the 28th at 9:54 p.m. So this is before we even knew about Irma coming. But anyway, it says, my sister-in-law called me yesterday and told me that my brother was in his workshop in the back of their house and had an experience with the Lord. She said that he was shaken by what God told him and was crying. The Lord said a storm or devastation would come and it would destroy Disney in Orlando. That's pretty specific. He said they have some friends who live in Orlando area, and it is a warning for them. And I don't think he was given a time frame. I think I will see them next weekend so I can talk to them. So she sent that to us on the 28th, but her brother had this just overwhelming, you know, and see, folks, when you say, well, did he hear a word or what? And when he said a storm or devastation, sometimes like Paul, you go to Acts 27, and when Paul is about to get on the ship, you know, and they were taking him to stand before Caesar, and Paul was going to get on the ship, and he said, I perceive that this ship will be with hurt, much loss. Sometimes in your spirit, you just receive a perception. You just kind of get a feeling, a sense, an ominous, that something big, something devastating is coming. And that's what this brother was getting. And then later on, he said, God gave him some more of it. And this was on Friday, August 26th. He was working in shop. And this is more, as we ask her more about it, and said that he was thinking about a friend of his in Orlando came to mind. And the Lord said to him that a hurricane was coming that would stay over Disney for 2 days, and that there would be much devastation, and that it would never open again. Now, that's pretty strong right there. I'm not going to go into all of this because it just gets heavy. But I want to tell you, she said that her brother was very shaken and broke down telling her this. Now, we're not saying, and he's not saying, we're not saying Irma is it. It may be Irma. It may not be Irma. I just find it interesting that we get this before we even know about Irma. And here is a Category 5 hurricane that's threatening the Florida Peninsula. And so, folks, if, you know, I would take that warning there seriously if you live in the Orlando area. I mean, we have church members who have family that live in Miami, and I'm like, man, I hope they are getting out now. I mean, Miami-Dade has already issued an evacuation order. This is no joke. I mean, please, if you're down there in Florida, start moving. I text someone that I know in Orlando before the show and said, I hope you're making plans to move north before this storm hits. You know, folks, when you get warnings, you need to take. Now, think about this. Two, right before the show, I get an email. Well, I get a text and an email from the same guy who's letting me know. He sent me an email. I hadn't even heard of this, but that there's been over 100 earthquakes in Idaho since Saturday. Did y'all hear that? Kevin, did you hear that? Over 100 earthquakes in Idaho. I didn't know Idaho had earthquakes. Maybe I'm just out of the loop here. I've never been to Idaho. I lived in California for a year, and we had earthquakes there. I remember them, the ground shaking and the dishes falling out of the cabinets and stuff like that. But 100 earthquakes in Idaho since Saturday, fires and smoke all over the Northwest, Houston underwater, and a large hurricane, one of the largest hurricanes ever, is headed our way. Oh, nothing to see here, folks. Go back to watching America's Got Talent. Go back to watching The Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, whatever you do. Nothing to see. No, the birth pains are happening. The birth pains are happening, and we have not even reached the great sign in heaven that's coming on September 23rd. You say, Pastor Dean, is something big going to happen on September 23rd? It may not. I don't think that's even the point. That's not even the point. The point is there's going to be a sign in the heavens that is in Scripture that's never happened before, never going to happen again. The woman's going to be clothed. The Virgo is going to be clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet. Jupiter in her womb for 9 months is going to come out, and she's got the crown of 12 stars, the constellation of Leo, the lion, and three of the wandering stars, what many call planets that are not, are going to be there, and that's it. I mean, it's a sign. What is a sign? A sign is a warning. A sign is a signal. It's an omen. It's a post. It's to let you know. You know, when I'm driving from here in Auburn, Opelika area, when I'm driving on I-85 going to Montgomery, you know, there's some signs that as I see those signs, like when I start seeing the signs for shorter, or when I see the sign for, you know, the Middleton exit down there, when I see the sign for the AUN exit or Taylor Road, I know I'm real close to getting into Montgomery, fully into the city. Well, that's where we are. This thing is a sign. And, man, I mean, it is upon us. I mean, it's upon us. I'm looking at this stuff, and I mean, folks, Hurricane Irma, I pulled up right before the show, Irma and Jose. Well, Jose is forming right behind Irma. It looks to be on a similar path, okay, and ABC News, ABC 11 said Hurricane Irma is now a Category 5. Will it hit North Carolina? Of course, we don't know. So here's some tweets. Stephen Shepard, Politico. Bad news, we now have Tropical Storm Jose in the Atlantic behind Irma, expected to become a hurricane in 36 to 48 hours. And then it says we have another one behind it. What is it called? Let's see here. What's the other one? There's a name for it back brewing there. Some strange name. Okay, I can't find it. Anyway. I just believe, and I'm going to tell you, and I think before this, you know, this was not on my mind, because we've been thinking about this great sign of the woman in travail and birth pains. We've been talking about how birth pains have been happening since 2014. I've been talking about it ever since then on this radio show. You can go back 3 years ago. I was talking about the birth pains have begun. Didn't know how long they're going to last, how long they take. But this thing with the unprecedented flooding that we're having in Houston, that right there, as I was thinking about that today, I just felt the Lord impress upon me the words, that was just the water breaking. That was just, you know, a woman right before she gives birth, as she's in labor, there's a point where her water breaks. And I believe that's what the Lord is telling me. That's right before the birth pain. Think about it. We are less than a month away from the great sign, the woman in travail getting ready to give birth. Folks, with the wars and the rumors of wars, with North Korea, with Russia, with China, with what's going on. And then everybody forgets, you know, Jesus said in Matthew 24, when it's interesting because he uses a term, two different terms there. He says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Well, if you look up the word nation there, it is the Greek word ethnos. So he's saying there will be ethnic groups rise up against different ethnic groups. Are we not seeing just the constant upheaval of race wars going on and disturbances and perplexity with that? So it's nation against nation, race against race, and kingdom against kingdom. I mean, we are, I believe we're neck deep in these birth pains. But before we go any further tonight, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We've got some more stuff to get into tonight. Also tonight, if you want to make a comment or you have a question, we would love to take your comments or questions live here. You can call in. The number to call in if you want to be on the show tonight with a comment or question is 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. What you need to do is call in that number. Again, I'm going to give it to you one more time, 347-884-8566. Call in that number either in the chat room on the computer. Let Kevin know that you want to be on the air and give him at least your phone number there so he knows which number, because we have people in there all the time. We don't know who wants to be on the air. So definitely call in or text Kevin. Can they text you? Will that work? All right. You can text Kevin and let him know you want to be on the show. Text him at 334-524-2809. That's 334-524-2809. I'm going to give it to you one more time. 334-524-2809. So that's Kevin. You let him know you want to be on the air. And truly, folks, if you don't be shy out there. We're going to take a break for a few minutes. And when we come back, we would love to take your phone calls, comments, questions. Even if you want to disagree with me, I don't mind that at all. I will definitely, if you have a question or you disagree, I'll definitely try to answer you the best I can. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, would love, again, like I'm saying, I would love to take your comments, your phone calls. So somebody out there tonight, if you would say, I'm asking this, or I'm thinking that, or I'm this, call. I mean, that's what this show's for. That's why we keep Blog Talk Radio rolling, so we can do live comments and questions and phone calls. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odom, along with Kevin Wilkinson. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Join us this Sunday morning at Fire and Grace Church right here in the Opelika, Auburn area. Our Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30 a.m. and we go live on Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. We would love to see you there. Our website is fireandgracechurch.org.
Keep on! were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Bible prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell. We've got a couple of callers. We're going to take them in just a moment. I want to clarify something here real quick because, of course, we've been trying to do this tonight on the fly, so I don't want to get anything wrong, but our friend said that her brother, in the impression that he received from the Lord, the perception, the word he received, It was, he said, Disney might not open again. It's going to be so bad that it may not. He didn't say definitely it would not. So that was just me not reading it all correctly and trying to do some of this off my telephone and without my reading glasses. Anyway, that was just to clear that up. So as we move forward, let's go ahead and Kevin, if you got whoever your first caller is, let's bring on.
Yeah, we got Brett. He's going to be on the line with us. Hey, Brett.
Hello,
there?
Pastor Dean.
Yes. Hey, Brett. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good.
All right.
I'm 29, and I'm a flat earther for about 2 years now. And I'm a saved Christian as well. Have you seen the project clips that is supposed to happen 7 years from the last eclipse?
I have heard about it. I haven't looked at it in depth.
It is a path across the U.S. that is going the other way from, like, you know, like the New York side of America down to like South California. And it's like literally makes an X over America.
Wow. I've heard about it, but I've been so busy. I hadn't even looked into it, but it's definitely interesting that it just happens to be 7 years from now. This past eclipse. I don't think any of this is a coincidence at all. Go ahead.
No, I mean, so I just found out about you like last night. I was just going through. I was watching. It was one of those videos where like they take your content and then put it on their channel and like mix a couple other people in. And
right,
they didn't,
right.
like, you know, say who you were and all this, so I had to go through it, and I found you had mentioned your church name, and then, I watched your firmament video a little bit today when I was working at my mom's house, and something I just thought would be in some experiments that I've done myself, I find it really interesting that if you look at, like, a body of water, preferably clean water, and during the day it's blue, and you look up the sky and the sky's blue, and at night it's black, and you look at the sky and the sky's black. I mean, God put it all right there for us to see with our own eyes. I mean, it's pretty
awesome. Amen, bro. Amen. You know, when we believe what we see, what we can actually see, we observe with our eyes, and then we read it in the Word of God, and then we can actually go out and test it. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I've been mind-boggled just about how, whether it be Bible prophecy or this biblical cosmology, the truth about creation and the whole nature of creation, man, it really is the way God said it was, and we can observe it that way. And we've let these people, these anti-God, anti-Christ, atheist, agnostic scientists, talk us out of what we actually see and experience and what God said. And man, I just praise God that you're a young man and you're on the truth.
Oh yeah, and you're one of the first pastors that I've seen that, I mean, I'd have half a mind to move down to Alabama just to go to a church where, you know, someone's preaching the full truth. Because it's, I mean, every church I've gone to, I've even, you know, gone, because I was raised Catholic, and then I started reading the Bible for myself, and I was like, well, this is like complete opposite of what I'm being taught. So,
wow.
But in finding new churches, like, and when I, you know, found this knowledge of God, I was like, oh, the creation, I would bring it up to, you know, my pastors, and they're like, oh, no, that there's no way that's even possible. And it's crazy because half of them are like literal Bible churches where they take it literally.
Right.
So how do you take, you know, immovable, you know, and then say, oh yeah, friggin' everything science says is true.
But you know, I'll say this, as I, you know, I've been in the ministry for 30 years. In fact, it was from 1987 now to 2017. So I've been doing this a long time. And, you know, it wasn't until about, you know, a little 2 years ago that my eyes were open to it. Now, there were parts of things that I was questioning and like, I just don't know how this works and I don't know why it says it this way. But just be, you know, be patient with some of those pastors. A lot of them are good men. They just, like me, like all of us, we were brainwashed from as a child to believe certain things. We had the images put in our head again and again and again. We were taught it in school. We were taught it in our school books. And I mean, and you know, if you even think for a moment, if you even begin to consider it and say it out loud, and people start calling you crazy and idiot, stupid. I mean, so there's a lot to overcome, you know, and
there is, but you know, what's even better than that on the positive side. And this is the part that I don't get. I've tried to, you know, to my religious friends and my family, try to show them the truth of the creation and how it literally says in the Bible. And what I don't get is, at least for me, when I realized that God was right above me, you know, sitting on a throne right above me, like, that was the best feeling. I mean, you feel like a little grasshopper as well, but it's the best feeling ever. You know, I mean, it's worth all the ridicule and everything to know that he's right up there, and you're on. I mean, it's beautiful.
Well, think about this. You know, modern Copernican heliocentric cosmology and the lies of NASA, and as Robbie Davidson calls it, scientism, and I love that word. All they've tried to do is turn people away from the Bible and make God seem that he's hundreds of millions of light years away. But when we read the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 and we see that the firmament is, and we see that it's solid, it's crystal. I mean, he called it the terrible crystal. We see that God's throne sits upon that sea of glass. And when he tells us that the throne is right there upon that firmament, I agree with you. It just makes it amazing that we know that the Creator, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus, the Shepherd, he's not far from his sheep, not far at all. And he's always, he has a watchful eye over his creation and all of us. And it is a comforting thing. Well, listen,
yeah,
Brett,
I don't want to take up your time.
That's okay.
That was the only thing I really want to say.
Hey, I appreciate your call. My friends back here telling me we got more callers, so we better get to them. But thanks for your call, brother, and God bless you. And definitely connect with us on Facebook, and so we can communicate more.
Definitely. God bless you.
All right. Bless you, brother. Okay, next caller. It's taking a moment
Hello?
To refresh there, huh?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes. What's your name?
Okay, hey. Hi, I'm Casey from Florida, actually, calling.
Hey, brother.
Hey, yeah, I just started listening probably about an hour ago, and you were saying that all those who are in Orlando to start possibly thinking about evacuating, and then I started listening on about that vision or that, I guess, that word from the Lord that your friend got, and I'm just sitting here thinking, man, I might want to get out of here soon.
Well, it looks like, I mean, even if the, you know, and again, I don't know this gentleman. He's basically a friend of a friend, but they say he loves Jesus, he's spirit-filled, and that, you know, he had an overwhelming touch. Now, again, we're not saying that that particular word has to do with Irma, but it sure is an unusual coincidence that this, you know, experience that he had and this warning he felt was just a few days ago, and here we have this massive Category 5 heading towards Florida, and we don't know where it's going to hit. So in just a matter of being safe, man, I would definitely try to be more north, you know, if you can, when this thing hits, just to be safe. I mean, we see what happened in Houston. We've seen what's happened with Katrina. You know, I'm just like, hey, folks, better safe than sorry, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I had two questions for you real quick.
Go ahead.
About some of the things. Yeah, some of the things I've been thinking about. First off, I wanted to know, are you familiar with Urban Baxter?
Yes. Yes, very familiar with Urban Baxter. I like a lot of the stuff he does.
Right, yeah. So when I was going to church, I want to say about 5 years ago or a little longer, older than that, I remember seeing a magazine. It was End Times Prophecy, and I remember seeing his name, Urban Baxter, and that's what got me turned into him. And one of the questions I had was, I remember him saying that before the Great Tribulation, and this isn't doctrine or nothing, but just something he's always taught on, I wanted to get your opinion on it, that basically the Middle East and Israel had to make a peace agreement, and that would start the 7 years tribulation. I wanted to know what your thought about that was.
Yeah, and I agree. The question is, and this is what I started doing some research on this a number of years ago, and I have come to the conclusion, you know, of course, Daniel 9 talks about a peace treaty that will be confirmed between the Antichrist and between Israel. Now, we don't know a lot about it from Daniel 9, but when you go over to Joel 3, it talks about the land being divided. So we know that there is a plan to create a peace treaty where the land will be divided and possibly the Temple Mount being shared. And I know that's what Urban Baxter teaches as well. Where he and I would probably differ a little bit is that I believe that this peace treaty already happened and that what we're going to see is we're going to see the fulfillment of it or the strengthening, the confirming of it in the very near future. And what I mean by that is the group of people that has to make the treaty with Israel to divide the land are the Palestinians. Also included in that group, the Palestinians, are the Jordanians. So in 1993, there was the Oslo Accords, and that was the first time that the Israel sat down with the Palestinians and made an agreement, a peace agreement. But they knew that it wouldn't be able to be that it wouldn't be fully completed for many years to come because the Palestinians had to learn government and be able to set up a police and authority and all these things. And so it was an agreement that was very important. And following right on the heels of that, the same individuals were involved in negotiating that treaty between Israel and the Palestinians that initially also had a treaty with the Jordanians just the following year, so 93, 94. So I believe that the treaty already happened and that we'll see it strengthened in the days ahead. And that is what we were going to – actually, you are leading us into what some of the other things that we're going to get into tonight. But, you know, Trump has sent Jared Kushner behind the scenes negotiating, trying to get this thing done. Now, I'm not saying they will, but I think it's interesting that you see the September 23rd sign, the birth pains increasing, and very possibly some kind of agreement may come down the pike in the very near future. So it is something to watch. And that's why I'm not saying I'm still looking for the confirmation of that treaty. And that's why I'm very careful to say, you know, September 23rd is, I believe it is the great sign in heaven of the beginning of something as, or a warning that we're about to begin it, but we don't have a time frame. We don't know if it's saying that is the beginning of the 7 years or we'll see the treaty shortly thereafter or the war, you know, the six trumpet war and then the treaty. I mean, there's a lot of things that we still don't know how it's going to happen and how much time is going to elapse between these things. So I hope that answered your question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that definitely helps me out as far as that goes. And one other question I had for you, I also listened to people like L.A. Marzulli, Rob Skiba. I know you're familiar with Rob Skiba because you mentioned him a couple times in your previous videos. One of the questions I had was, how do you feel about the alien deception? And the reason I asked that is because L.A. Marzulli has this notion or this belief, and I don't know if you're on board with this entirely, but that when World War III happens or when what other event or something happens, that the aliens would, you know, the demons basically disguised as aliens would show up on the scene and that would basically usher in the Antichrist. And then Nimrod would be basically the attribute of the Antichrist, who basically would be the Antichrist. Just kind of want to get your take on all of it, because I want to be
I agree with LA on the fact that the alien, the whole deception, the whole UFO phenomena, and I do believe that it's real, and I do believe that it's increasing, and I do believe that the elite, the Illuminati, the Satanist, the wealthy, you know, the bankers, I believe they all are in league with the fallen angels, the demons, and their offspring. I believe they're still here with us. See, in 1987, my first convert after I rededicated my life to the Lord was a Satanist, and she was pretty high up in Satanism, and she got saved. And shortly thereafter, we were in a little group having a little Bible study, and we got to Genesis 6. And, you know, for me, that was one of the first times that after rededicating my life from my years of being away from God as a teenager that I'd even looked at Genesis. I never even read Genesis 6. And so we were reading Genesis 6, and she says, you know these things are here and that they're real. And I said, what things? She said, these creatures, these half-breeds, these this offspring of the fallen angels and human women. And I said, really? She said, yeah. She told me 1987, they're hidden in underground caves and bunkers and things until, and she said, they will not be released until the tribulation period. Now, here's a new convert, but came out of hard, deep level Satanism, telling me this in 1987 before the internet. So this is no internet hearsay. This is no internet. I'd never heard anybody even talk about it before. And then you fast forward now, you know, 25, 30 years later, and you're hearing stuff from Phil Schneider, the guys coming talking about what's going on the underground bases. I mean, not even a Christian talking about that there are these entities that the U.S. government's dealing with and governments of the world. So I do believe that part of the great delusion or deception of the end times is going to be the fallen angels and their offspring in physical form deceiving the world that they are aliens here to save us from ourselves. Now, as for me, I don't go along with the idea that the Antichrist is Nimrod or some other person raised from the dead, because I just see that differently. He is a man who will die, but I just look at it a little differently. So, yeah, and, you know, Rob and I, we know each other. We've talked to each other. He and I, you know, we agree on far more than we disagree on, but you know, we disagree on a few things. So, but again, you know, that's one of those things, too, with the Antichrist. I have a guy I think is probably the number one candidate, but I still reserve the fact it may not be him. But he sure fits all the criteria, biblical criteria. But I think there's a lot of things when it gets to this that we can only do our best to try to understand, and that we won't fully understand it until it begins to happen and it's in front of our face. And then we'll go, okay, now I get it. You know, now is this is how, you know, we've just – as Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. We know in part, we understand in part, but when that, you know, when prophecies happen, we go, oh, okay, there it is. So I wouldn't argue with anybody about it in a sense. It's just, you know, we'll see. We'll see. We know he's coming. That's one thing we agree on. There's an Antichrist coming, and there will be an alien agenda and deception involved in it. I agree 100%. But just like me in L.A., we would disagree. He's a pre-trib rapture guy, and I am not at all. So, but I still love the guy, right?
Right, and from what I understand, I don't think he even looks into the flat earth or any of that. Not trying to put him down, but I kind of get what you're saying. There's a lot of people who've opened up my eyes to different things. Like L.A. Marzulli have gotten a lot of information about the aliens and never thought of it that way or really even considered aliens as an existence. Rob Skiba on the same page, and then he led me down that route. But hey, thank you for taking my call. And
you're welcome.
Good to know,
hey, thank you for your phone call.
All right, have a good night.
You too. God bless, brother. All right, we have one more caller right now. Go ahead, bro. Did we or don't we? We do. All right, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you good. Make sure you don't have a computer or anything on in the background, because we'll get a bad echo. Just you and the phone.
I don't. I've turned it down.
Okay. All right.
I love you, man. I appreciate you. Daniel 2 was explained to me by a machinist. He said that each of these metals is harder to work with, each one starting with the head of gold. And, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was told by Daniel, these are lesser kingdoms than yours, Lord. Well, yeah, that's right. What you tell the guys fixing to cut your head off. But right. As technology goes, just looking at technology and agreeing 100% with something y'all were just talking about, looking at technology, it got greater from gold, silver added, then bronze, it got greater. Even Britain ruled the world with iron.
Right.
But we come to the feet of iron and clay. Well, you and I are talking on that, Pastor. That is silicon and metal, and it's the very hardest to work with as a machinist, starting with gold being the easiest all the way to now. So, I mean, it's amazing that this very technology we're talking on, this fragile technology that works on batteries and is ruling the world. And I think you're completely right. Whatever steps in this coming deception, even according to Daniel 2, as I see it, it's kingdoms of the technology, you're still preaching the same thing. The UN itself, my brother, is a kingdom of technology.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're going to implement everything they have, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going to throw the guns and everything, anything they can throw. And, I mean, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate your word. I'm not a rapturist, but I am for sure not a pre-trib.
Right.
If you go to China, where my wife is from, and preach a pre-trib rapture, they will ask you, where do you want a door at, and make one for you and tell you to get.
Yeah.
Because,
and you know,
they are suffering tribulation like you would not believe.
Right.
So there's no pre-trib, but the signs, the event, the seasons we're in, even Daniel 2 points to the same thing in kingdoms of technology, starting with the easiest to machine gold to the hardest.
Right.
Which we're talking on.
And you
I'm
know,
talking to you on silicon and metal, brother. And
that's right.
I can't say I appreciate you. One other question is, how far will the UN go? How bad do you think it'll get with the blue helmet?
You know, I know one thing. I know they want to get control of the U.S. That is like their biggest goal, I believe. And so I don't know, but I can tell you this much. They're going to have problems in certain areas. And that's why, you know, it talks about the kingdom of the Antichrist being strong in some places and brittle in other places. He's going to find more resistance in some places. And I can tell you one thing. I don't know where you are from, brother, but here in Alabama,
well,
he's going to find some
problems. I'm from Conway, South Carolina, and I guarantee you we target the blue that come to it.
That's right.
So.
And they know it, too. And so I believe that's why they got to create some type of – there will be more false flags, I believe, that will try to pave the way for them to get legitimately say, oh, we're coming in here to help you. That'll be the way they do it.
Well, anyway, we love you from Conway, and I didn't know if you considered just metallurgy, just the things that Daniel mentions, but throw it in there, and it reaches right to exactly what your last caller was talking about. Kingdoms of technology that use against us, starting with Nebuchadnezzar. Each kingdom got greater, my brother, not lesser. You tell the king's going to cut your head off, lesser kingdoms. Many blessings.
All right, bless you, brother. God bless. All right. Praise God. All right, great calls tonight. I enjoyed that very much. I tell you what, anybody else out there, we got about 30 minutes. You're definitely welcome to call in, 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. You're definitely welcome to call in with a question or comment or even disagreement. We don't mind that at all. But I just want to keep going on this because we do have about 35 minutes left. And I wanted to talk about one of our callers there talked about the peace treaty. And this was an article that we pulled up here right before the service or before the program, I should say. I'm saying service. But now my computer's not wanting to pull it up here. Anyway, for some reason, I'm having trouble. It won't pull it up. Anyway, it's just talking about Trump's and Kushner kind of work behind the scenes. And listen, for anybody out there listening, if you want to know a little bit more about what I was talking about with that caller about the coming, about the peace treaty that I believe was signed and done, the two parts of it in 1993 and 1994, with the Oslo Accords and then the agreement, the peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. I did a video back in 2012. We did a double prophecy conference in January of 2012. And just go watch the video. You'll have to scroll down my videos on YouTube. But go watch the video, The Antichrist Revealed. It's about not quite in 2 hours, but it's well worth checking out, because I am going to cover that again in the days ahead, because I'm in a series on end time Bible prophecy at our church here. And so I am going to cover that again. But if you want a sneak peek, and I have some new information, but if you want to go get the foundation, go watch The Antichrist Revealed. Just type in my name on YouTube, Dean Odle, and Antichrist Revealed, and it'll come up, and you'll get a good overview of the guy. I think may be the guy, and even if he's not, it looks like it's someone from his family, his nation, and it's getting close. But there's even new information on him coming up. But anyway, Antichrist Revealed YouTube, that'll help you out, and you'll see the Oslo Accords. In fact, I have a clip. It's an awesome clip on that video from the actual signing of the treaty and President Bill Clinton and the people standing up talking about it. It was an old C-SPAN article. So that will bless you, I think. Hallelujah. Okay, anybody, do we have any more callers out there? No more callers? Well, all right, folks. Really, to tell you the truth, I just feel like, you know what, I'm not even going to push it this evening. We normally just push it for 2 hours, and sometimes we have it packed up and filled up, but I just really feel a release that, you know what, I don't need to really push this any further this evening. I believe that the Lord's given us the message he wanted us to get out, that it's time to make some preparations. You know, I was, you know, wondering if I was going to get any questions or comments or disagreement about the pre-trib rapture thing. But I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that, you know, even though that was ingrained in us by denominations over the years, some people started reading the Bibles for themselves, just like our Catholic brother started reading the Bible for himself and realized everything he's being taught, it was the opposite in the Bible, and came out of that, the Whore of Babylon. And there's a lot more people going to be coming out of a lot of other churches just by simply reading their Bibles. And whether it is pre-trib rapture, finding out that that's not true, or finding out, you know, that there is an alien agenda being pushed by Satan that's going to make an impact in the end. There's a lot of things out there we were not taught in traditional denominational churches, but that God is revealing and making clear to his people through different people. And again, I love these different brothers out there that have these different focus. They, you know, whether it be L.A. Marzulli or Rob Skiba or Zen Garcia or, you know, just different ones. I've learned from Irvin Baxter. I don't agree with Irvin Baxter on everything, but I learned a lot from Irvin Baxter, studying his stuff. You know, I remember even old Jack Van Impe, even though he's a pre-trib rapture guy, I still learned a lot of stuff from him, and it made me study, made me get in the Word of God and look for myself. And you know, I can say honestly, I've learned from all kind of different parts of the body of Christ, and you can learn from people. You just have to make sure you listen to whatever they're teaching or preaching, and then you get in the Bible and you go study it for yourself, do your own research, and be like the Bereans. You just make sure what they're saying is the rightly divided Word of God, that they're sticking to the Bible, Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation. I'm not saying we can't look at other stuff like Enoch or Jasher or whatever. You can look at that, but ultimate authority is the canonized scripture of God's Word that I believe he preserved perfectly for us. And so anyway, you just study the Word. Remember, I tell people all the time, a lot of people think, oh, it's the pastor's job to study and teach me. Well, yeah, it is. It is. God's called some of us that we're supposed to study and teach and preach. But I tell people all the time, really my job is to study, read, study, discover things in here maybe you haven't seen, and just tell you here they are, and you're supposed to go back and check, and you're supposed to go back and make sure that those things are true. And a lot of people don't do that, and that's why they end up, you know, sometimes being deceived by people, following the wrong person, being in the wrong church or the wrong denomination. You've got to read the Bible and for yourself, so you won't be deceived. Anyway, folks, the wars and rumors of wars, I'm telling you personally, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody or anything else, personally, this guy right here, there's a few little preparations and things that I know that I need to do around my house and for my family, and I just kind of feel a little stirring that I need it done. So, you know, and you say, that's me, just me, maybe it's just for me. But I think we need to be prepared, particularly for what's coming in 2000, and this, you know, after September 23rd, and as we move into to the end of 2017 and 2018, things are going to get quite crazy. And I believe that they want to introduce the mark of the beast. I believe the goal of the bankers and the elite and the Illuminati, they're looking at 2020 as their goal. Now, they may not make it, but I can tell you in my research that their goal is to have that implemented, mandated law for everyone to be tipped and to all buying and selling be done through some type of microchip. So, folks, you better get yourself ready. Don't take the mark of the beast. And really, folks, don't go to the beast system now. I'm done with it. Just like he said, I'm not going to bow to the UN. I'm not going to bow to their any mandates on vaccines or drugs or anything else. I'm not going to eat and drink their GMOs to the best that I can filter that stuff out of my life. And I'm going to stand up for my family and for my children, my grandchildren, for people around me, for my church. We're not going to bow down to this system. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego under Nebuchadnezzar when he made the statue and he said, you guys bow. And they said, nope, we're not going to bow. We don't bow to any other god. We don't bow to any other system. We only bow to the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not bowing to any other god. And, of course, they were thrown in the fiery furnace, but God delivered them. But you know what? Others died. Others were willing to be martyrs to not deny Jesus and not deny that him as Lord of their lives. So time to brace up and get ready. But, folks, I'm going to get out of here early tonight. So, you know, no need to belabor the point. I've actually thought about cutting the show down to an hour. But you know what? We're just going to do this, man. We're just going to go until we'll set it up for 2 hours. And if we go for 2 hours, we go. If we go for an hour and a half, we go. But anyway, we love you guys again. Everyone, if you find out that the hurricane is headed in your direction or anywhere near your direction, especially if you're in Florida, listen, don't be stubborn. I know it's tough to leave your home and leave stuff behind, but it's better to be safe than sorry. So I hope a lot of you will not be stubborn and try to ride it out, especially if it's a Category 5 or 6. Please don't do that. Just don't. Be careful. All right. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. God bless you. We hope that you have been blessed tonight, that you've learned something, you've been encouraged. You've been listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, along with my co-host, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. And we will be back here live on Facebook, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio, and DeanOdle.org. We'll be back live Sunday morning at 11 a.m., God willing. Join us then. If you've never joined us for a Sunday morning service, we would love to see you there. Those of you in the Opelika, Auburn area, if you're looking for a home church, we start at 10:30 on Sunday mornings and have a time of praise and worship, and then we get into the Word. But we are here 200 2nd Avenue, right next to Piedmont Fertilizer, for those of you who know where that is here in Opelika, Auburn. So if you're looking for a church home, we would love to have you with us 10:30 Sunday morning. Right here, Fire and Grace Church, 200 2nd Avenue here in Opelika, Alabama. Anyway, we'd love to have you there. We're going to get out of here. God bless you.
Prophecy Quake. To further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook us at Dean Odal Ministries.